Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Welcome to DW's Africa Link, coming to you live from Bonn in Germany. I am Abubakar Jallo.
And I am Zipora Nyambura. As usual, we are live on air and on Facebook. Just check on our page, DW Africa.
And coming up, as the European Union and the African Union summit kicks off in Ivory Coast, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says Africa and Europe need each other.
It is very important that we support Africans in stopping illegal immigration and preventing people being held in camps in Libya or being traded in the most awful way.
Calls for action from the World Health Organization as a fight against malaria stalls.
We are now at a crossroad. If we continue with the business as usual, which we have seen over the last 5 years, you know, history will repeat itself, meaning malaria can come back.
Plus, lawmakers clash in Cameroon's parliament.
But first, here is a chance to hear stories making headlines around the world.
I'm Christina Krippal with the DW News. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has promised more aid to African countries for the fight against illegal migration. Speaking on Wednesday in Ivory Coast's capital, Abidjan, where she is attending a two-day European Union-African Union summit, Merkel said the continents shared an interest in stopping clandestine migrants.
The topic of illegal immigration is very important across the African continent because there are reports that young men are being sold like slaves in Libya. We have a common interest in ending illegal immigration and instead creating legal opportunities for Africans to come to Europe to study or receive training.
Für Menschen aus Afrika, die Ausbildung bekommen, die bei uns studieren können.
4 Cameroonian soldiers were killed by suspected separatists in an English-speaking region early on Wednesday. Violence has been rife in the southwest and northwest regions, home to a large minority of English speakers in the Francophone majority nation who feel discriminated. 50 people, mostly civilians, were killed in raids by a tribal militia in eastern South Sudan, the latest in a series of attacks between rival communities. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. A Zimbabwean pastor has been acquitted of subversion by the High Court after leading large anti-government protests last year. Leaving the court, Evan Mwadide, who launched the hashtag This Flag protest campaign on social media, said,
I am absolutely elated today that the courts have decided, after considering the evidence that came before them, that I am not guilty. It's sad that the citizens of our nation have to go through experiences such as the one I've gone through, where for 11 months you fight for the right to do what your constitution allows you to do.
The United Nations has warned against an increase of the spread of malaria. In 2016, the number of cases grew for the first time in several years, a report published today by the World Health Organization said. The vast majority of almost 500,000 deaths were in children under the age of 5 in the poorest parts of sub-Saharan Africa. A trial for war crimes in former Yugoslavia at the International Criminal Court in The Hague was interrupted today when one of the accused committed suicide by swallowing poison in the courtroom. Bosnian Croat commander Slobodan Praljak took the poison upon hearing that his 20-year sentence was being upheld by appeals judges. North Korea has been universally condemned for its missile test last night. Among the critics was its closest ally, China, which said it was deeply worried and called on Pyongyang to abide by United Nations regulations. North Korea said it was now in a position to hit the whole territory of the United States. U.S. President Donald Trump said he would announce new sanctions against North Korea later on Wednesday. For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Christina Krippal.
If you are just joining us, welcome. This is DW Africa Link. I am Abubakar Jallo.
And I am Zipora Nyambura. Remember, we are live on Facebook as well, so do drop us your comments and share the live stream with your friends too.
Now, more than 80 European and African leaders are meeting in the Ivorian capital, Abidjan, in the European Union-Africa Union Summit. These leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron, are scheduled to talk about migration, security and youth development during the two-day summit.
Part of the summit will be focusing on creating better education and economic opportunities for Africa's rapidly growing population, which is set to more than double to 2.4 billion by 2050. Chancellor Angela Merkel on Wednesday pledged stronger support for Africa's fight against illegal migration. Take a listen to what she said.
Das Thema der illegalen Migration.
The topic of illegal immigration is very important across the African continent right now, because there are reports that young men are being sold like slaves in Libya, and that is why this topic has a high emotional significance here. We have a common interest in ending illegal immigration and instead creating legal opportunities for Africans to come to Europe to study or receive training.
Ausbildung bekommen, die bei uns studieren können. Aber sehr wichtig ist.
But it is very important that we support Africans in stopping illegal immigration and preventing people being held in camps in Libya or being traded in the most awful way.
Entweder in Lagern in Libyen sind oder eben sogar gehandelt werden, was die Afrikaner.
Africans are rightly outraged by this, and so am I. This is why we have a common objective that will certainly play a role at this conference.
Das sicherlich auf dieser Konferenz auch eine Rolle spielen wird.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Now, DW's Bureau Chief Max Hoffmann joins us on the line from Abidjan. Max, what do you make of Merkel's statement?
It doesn't really come as a huge surprise. She touched upon many topics we knew would be important for the summit, but the one that's most emotionally charged is certainly the one about the alleged slavery happening in Libya. You remember the report that broke from CNN where they showed pictures of an alleged slave auctioning up in Libya of young migrants. That's something that led to huge outcry in Africa, also at this summit, but also among the Europeans. We say we absolutely need to do something against that. And we talked to the head of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, about that. And he said he can't even sleep at night when he thinks about the situation that these young people are in, looking for a better life and actually finding hell.
Now, let's talk a bit about the summit itself. There is a power balance at play here. What does Europe want from this meeting and what do Africans want in return?
Well, very simply put, the Africans want money. They want investment from the Europeans to get their economies back on track or on track. And the Europeans want migration control. That's why they started putting Africa back on the top of the agenda. While doing so, though, they realized that it's not just about controlling borders. This is a huge scale operation, which will need a lot of investment, which maybe will require free trade agreements.
There's this new talk about the legal migration, legal ways for Africans to come to Europe and study and work here and make a normal, decent living. How have Africans reacted to this statement?
Well, that's what many Africans want. We talked to the president, for example, of the Central African Republic. He said, we need to do that. We want that. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult to have readmission agreements for those that made it to Europe but don't have the right to stay, because this, of course, is an important part of the plan of the Europeans. As long as that doesn't function, though, it's going to be hard politically for the Europeans to open up legal migration pathways, although especially the Germans here have talked a lot about what you just said, students coming to Europe, African students getting an education in Europe and then going back to their home countries. But if you ask the crucial question, how many do you want to admit? What's going to be the quota? They say, we can't talk about quota as long as we have so much illegal migration from Africa to the European Union.
Finally, Max, African leaders are seeking for a level playing field with Europe. They want to do business with the EU on an equal footing. Is that something that is conceivable?
You know, that's always hard from which perspective you see it. Now, if you look at the money, of course, it's not equal footing, because if you look at the GDP, Europe's GDP is about 10 times that of Africa, although Africa is much larger. So money-wise, there is inequality, no question about it. But the Africans now have a serious bargaining card, as horrible as it might sound. But of course, what's happening with the migration crisis is something where Africans can say, listen, you want this to get better, then you will have to help us. So it doesn't make the playing field level, but at least it made the Europeans take many African countries more seriously than they did in the past. Now, if you see that as equal or not is a different question. Of course, the Europeans always insist, yes, we want the Africans to be equal, but in the end, it's often about money.
DW's Brussels Bureau Chief Max Hoffman speaking to me earlier from Abidjan.
And Abu, it's not just there. Africans online are also reacting to those comments on our DW page. And they were reacting to Chancellor Angela Merkel's statement. Leona Kingsley says they don't need to support Africa. They need to stop sponsoring dictatorship in Africa.
And Aminu Ibrahim Hassan says conquering Gaddafi is like conquering the whole of Africa. AU is a passive organization without wisdom. If not, they should have realized this fact. The large cache of armed proliferation in Africa, especially in the sub-Saharan Africa, is as a result of the fall of Gaddafi. African Union, nonsense.
Frank Shinagrom says, let them come to Nigeria and set Biafra free. We are suffering, nothing is working, and the situation is getting worse. But now we move on to a totally different topic. The World Health Organization, WHO, says that the global fight to eradicate malaria has stalled despite success in the recent past.
WHO has today released a report warning that more people could be at risk if governments and concerned agencies do not make necessary commitments to fight the disease.
Now, more than 400,000 people died of malaria last year, a majority of them children under five. I talked to Dr. Kasete Admasu, the chief executive officer of the Rollback Malaria Partnership to End Malaria and a former health minister in Ethiopia.
WHO launched a global malaria eradication program in the 50s, which has seen significant progress. And then when the political commitment started to wane, we have seen resurgence of malaria in the 90s, which has costed much more lives. So that's why the World Health Organization and the global malaria community are talking about we are now at a crossroad. If we continue with the business as usual, which we have seen over the last 5 years, you know, history will repeat itself, meaning malaria can come back with a big upsurge and costing millions of lives.
So how is it possible that with all this new research and vaccines, we have lost the battle in Africa against malaria?
The vaccine is yet to be rolled out, and it's going to be a pilot, you know, rollout in 3 countries. So it's not yet a universally accessible tool, and WHO needs more information to recommend it for a wider public health use. Coverage has gone down because of, you know, lack of finances in most of our countries in Africa. 90% of the commodities, the bed nets, the drugs, the diagnostic tests, and the chemicals in Africa are financed by external sources, because the whole fight against malaria is dependent on a handful of donors. That's what this report tells us. So it's really important to make sure that countries continue to prioritize malaria. And it's not only, you know, just making statements, but they have to also make investments to make sure that the population is protected from malaria.
Dr. Kasete Admasu, the CEO of the Rollback Malaria Partnership in Ethiopia, speaking today on the World Malaria Day.
Now, still to come in the second half of the show, opposition MPs and ruling party MPs clashed in Cameroon's parliament over the Anglophone crisis. Stay tuned for that story.
But before that, we revisit some of your comments on the top story, where Chancellor Angela Merkel said it's very important that they help Africans to stop illegal migration. And we've been getting many responses. Christine Gutmesch says, I am German. Nothing is done with talking. European countries and also Germany must stop the unfair trading conditions with many African countries.
Christian went further to say, we must stop destroying local African markets with cheap exports of milk or meat. Well, that's a strong opinion there.
Yeah. Jackson says, France cannot afford Africa. Germany, China and USA can.
And Matt Akasin says, Europe must be just and fair and change the horrible immigration policies which restrict other freedoms of movement. There's nothing you need to do than to make legal immigration very easier. Thanks for those responses. Stay tuned to Africa Link.
In case you've just joined us, you are listening to Africa Link. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I am Abubakar Jalo. And as usual, we are live on Facebook. So leave us your comments there. We will get to them whenever we can.
Still to come, what impact would a 3-degree temperature rise have on people living directly off the land?
We don't have anything to eat. Even the wild fruits that are usually on the trees aren't there because of the drought.
And also empowering women through football on the Kenyan coast coming up in our segment on the sport.
But before that, Abu, we take you to Cameroon. There was drama today in the Cameroonian parliament when the opposition sought to interrupt proceedings. They were demanding that the government resolve the ongoing Anglophone crisis, which has been rumbling away for more than a year. The Social Democratic Front, the SDF, opposition lawmakers warned that no business will take place until the grievances of those in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon are heard.
Now, on the other hand, MPs from the ruling party, the Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, CPDM, are now calling on the military to protect them from what they say is violence orchestrated by opposition lawmakers. Moki Kinseka reports from Yaounde.
The lawmakers had gathered to listen to the proposed 2018 Cameroon state budget read by Prime Minister Philemon Yang.
Honourable members of parliament, the economic, financial, social and cultural program of the government for the 2018 budgetary year comes at a time when...
When he was interrupted by singing, the opposition SDF parliamentary group leader, Joseph Banadzam, and 12 of his members mounted the rostrum and seized the microphone from the Prime Minister. Banadzam demanding that the crisis in the English-speaking regions be resolved first. Several armed soldiers had to come in and intervene, provoking the opposition lawmakers led by Banadzam.
This house is sacred. Armed men are not supposed to be in this house. How comes it that a soldier is blocking me? His gun is here. Yes. Yes. We are not secure. We are not secure. So before I continue, the soldier should leave the assembly.
The speaker, Kavai Yege Jibril, sought to calm the situation.
Please. They are here for my security.
Despite a moment of calm, the opposition lawmakers have vowed that no parliament debate will take place until the government resolves the problem in the Anglophone regions. This comes amidst new reports of armed men killing four military men in the English-speaking town of Mamfe last night, in which no one has claimed responsibility. The ongoing crisis in Cameroon started when English-speaking lawyers and teachers decried marginalization by the French speakers. Later, separatists joined, which has seen a wave of burning public buildings in north and southwest of English-speaking regions.
Moki Kinzeka reporting from Cameroon.
And as usual, your responses are enormous. Rodriguez says the Cameroon government thinks it can manage the crisis like Boko Haram, but it can't be so. The responses on the page are, as usual, enormous there. And we can't read all of them, but we can certainly read some of them. Sakwe Clinch says, that's very funny. You just mentioned Ambazonia. That's the name of a country that has the right, like Germany, to own its own military. Interesting comments there.
On the spot.
Now, disadvantaged women and girls from rural areas in Kilifi and Kwale counties in the Kenyan coast are being empowered through football as a tool to change their lives. The community-based organization Moving the Goalpost, MTG, is behind this initiative.
MTG is all about bringing girls together in a safe space where they can play football, organize their own activities, become leaders, and discuss issues that matter for girls growing up in the two counties. This is a place, Abu, which is rated among the poorest in Kenya. There are high illiteracy levels and only 11 out of every 20 girls proceed to secondary school. Diana Wanyonyi visited the girls and filed the following report.
It is a Sunday morning in a rural area of Kilifi County, northeast of Mombasa Island on the Kenyan coast. Here, girls between the ages of 12 and 23 are putting on blue and white football jerseys, pink socks and orange sports shoes. Every Sunday, the girls meet here at the Moving the Goalposts offices in Kilifi. Moving the Goalposts started in 2001 with the aim of empowering disadvantaged girls and young women using football as a tool to change lives. The activities happen both on and off the field. Many of the girls kicking the ball today have already been empowered to become community leaders. They run peer education programs on reproductive health, women's rights, and economic empowerment. And those workshops are badly needed here. Kilifi and Kwale are two of the poorest counties in Kenya. There are high illiteracy rates, and only 11 out of 20 girls even make it to secondary school. A few minutes before the friendly game, their coach Fatime Tibu is calling out her team, instructing them to go and take their positions on the pitch.
What inspired me to play football? I saw football was like a game of men, but being in MTG has opened up my mind because I've gained a lot of exposures. I've also gained a lot of confidence.
MTG started with just 100 girls and young women. Now it has more than 9,000 of them between the ages of 9 and 25. Mapenzi Changawa is 20 years old. She lives with her parents 50 kilometers from Kilifi town. Despite the distance, her passion for football means that she makes sure she attends practice every Sunday.
According to the information that we are given at MTG, I've been busy keeping fit, which I think is why I have not got pregnant. I have tried to share that information with my friends, but even when they know what I know, they have not put the teaching into practice. And then they have become pregnant.
The creator of the organization is British-born Sarah Ford, a footballer and former radio sports journalist in the United Kingdom. She said that her main aim is to show the world that girls are also capable of doing different activities within their communities. Achieving what some might have thought unimaginable is exactly what the alumni of Moving the Goalposts aim to do.
Diana Wanyonyi with that report.
Living Planet Africa.
Now, Zipporah, did you know that if the world fails to limit global warming to a maximum 2-degree target, the Earth could be on a course for a potentially catastrophic temperature rise of 3 degrees or more?
Yes, indeed. And on the continent of Africa, which is after all where human life originated, in places like the north of Kenya, the weather is becoming more erratic due to climate change. Drier periods are getting longer, rainfall patterns are changing, and water is becoming scarce.
Now, this scenario has already been playing out across various regions in Africa. So what impact will a 3-degree temperature rise have on people that live directly off the land? This report by Andrew Wasike in northern Kenya is now presented by Kate Laycock.
In Turkana's punishing terrain, 10-year-old John Lechipan sits on the sun-scorched earth to have a rather unusual breakfast. The temperature is hovering around 45 degrees, and nearby goats and sheep are scrambling for a place under a flat-topped acacia tree to shelter themselves from the sun's unforgiving rays. John's main meal is goat's milk, His father, Neshonai Lechipan, says that things have changed for the family due to the erratic weather. Now life is becoming a daily struggle as food and water are scarce. Clad in traditional Turkana attire made up of goat skin, Neshonai Lechipan points at his child, who is busy suckling from a goat, his lower lip pierced as per custom.
Most of our animals have died because of the lack of water in this region. Now, I've been forced to give one of my goats to my son, who's 10 years old, so that he can suckle with the goat's newly born offspring. The goat's kid will first start suckling from its mother, and then my son can suckle as well. That way, he'll have enough energy to look after the animals till evening.
Under the intense heat, 48-year-old Kijin counts his losses as he passes through a pathway littered with some of his dead animals. He's travelled around 80 kilometres from Baragoi to Karisia after he heard news of small rain showers there.
We are witnessing a change in climate right now. We have more sun, little or no rain, and because of that, we don't have food. Since the weather started changing, I haven't been able to benefit from my farm because we have no water.
According to a report by Human Rights Watch, climate change, among political and economic factors, is contributing to the Turkana people's lack of access to food and water. Rainfall patterns, the report adds, have become unpredictable, and average temperatures in the region have increased by 2 to 3 degrees Celsius. Before the current dry spell, Kijin's wife used to walk for over 6 hours to a deep well. She would always come back with water. But now, even pale brown water is nowhere to be found. Human Rights Watch researcher Felix Horn says the food insecurity people are facing here is very likely to exacerbate.
Everything here is about water. And so as the temperature increases and the level of drought increases, the impacts on Turkana are going to be absolutely devastating.
As a result, many people have become dependent on food aid, especially from the UN's World Food Programme and the Canadian Food Grains Bank.
We are facing hunger,
says 38-year-old Ngurume Akai, who has lost all of his animals to the drought.
We don't have anything to eat. Even the wild fruits that are usually on the trees aren't there because of the drought.
The impact of the severe drought is also being felt beyond Turkana, in other parts of Kenya and across Djibouti, Ethiopia and Somalia, where it's also led to a food crisis and severe cases of malnutrition. According to the rights group, some forecasts said the lake could recede into small pools, resulting in devastating consequences for fish stocks. Climate scientists predict the worst of climate change is yet to come as the world heads towards a global temperature rise of around 3 degrees Celsius.
That report was compiled by Andrew Wasike in northern Kenya.
And now we revisit our top story today, where Angela Merkel said it's important that they support Africans to put a stop to illegal migration. And I am looking at the comments that we're getting on our Facebook Live now. And I will read the first one, which says that Africa should find only solution for African nation to good economy instead, from Ibrahim Mohammed.
And I also see from our Facebook page that Stephen Odu, who says, AU cannot solve Africa problem. Africa problems need Africa solution. Interesting one.
Thuku Karaoke, I can tell this one is from Kenya, is asking, until when will Africa be helped by Europe?
And let's go to further responses on this same story. Andres Malama says, let's all unite by stopping this slavery disease for the betterment of this world, of a free society. That's the only thing we should discuss about.
John Gisore from Nairobi says, what if they make extra investments in Africa? Will there be any change? Let words come with actions.
Lamine Fofana says, Africans should be thinking of living a better lifestyle for tomorrow. The news that is coming from African countries is really not encouraging.
Yeah, I have to summarize this one from Johnson, who says that Africans should not actually allow themselves to be sold as slaves.
Well, we look forward to really what's going to come out of this EU-Africa summit in Abidjan, which happens every 3 years.
Yeah, and for sure we'll keep updating you on the latest.
Definitely going to go back to Abidjan for that. Thank you all for your comment. It's been a pleasure of having you on Africa Link. I'm Abubakar Jalo.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura.
Until tomorrow.
Bye for now.